Chodesh Halvavus, Sunday night Chodesh Halvavus. I want to ask you something when we're finished. No, not two things. One, what you think, and one, what you don't think. Okay, Chodesh Halvavus, we're in Shaar Avodas Elokim, and we're in Perek Sheni. And the Chodesh Halvavus has told us, if you're just joining us now, the Chodesh Halvavus has told us that there are two types of ways a person comes to being Oved Hashem. And one is called Ha'ora Sichlis, which is, he figures it out on his own. He goes through Shaar HaYichud and Shaar HaBechina, and he realizes all the good that Hashem does for him. And he feels a sense of gratitude, and he realizes he has to acknowledge Hashem, thank Hashem, and worship Hashem. Worshipping Hashem, meaning being aware and acknowledging His reality, and that you want to do His will. Then there's Ha'ora Toronis, where the Torah sets up rules for us, what we do and we don't do, and that we're locked into that. We have to do that whether or not we feel the spirit of the law and what the halacha is based on. It doesn't matter. There's Ha'ora, so there's a Torah. Now, in Perek Sheni, in Avodas Hashem, the Chavad Halavas in general, in Shaar Avodas Elokim, maintains the superiority of Ha'ora Sichlis, and that's really the goal. The goal of a person in his life is to understand on his own and to perform the spirit of the law, which is almost always, virtually always, acknowledging Hashem, thanking Hashem, being Mahalel Hashem. That's what a person, that's really what life is all about. That's what the Malachim do a whole day, so to speak, and that's what a person's supposed to do. But in Perek Sheni, he talks about the necessity for Ha'ora Toronis. And he said, the first two things he said, we're up to the third thing, which is the end of the second Perek. The first two things he said, because if you would just, everybody would be like Avram Avinu, and just figure everything out on their own, and then be convinced of Hashem, and worship Hashem, and be aware of Hashem, and Avos Hashem, and Yiras Hashem, and all those good things, it wouldn't happen. Why wouldn't it happen? So reason number one is that it's like letting, you have two teams on a basketball court or a soccer field, and you let the first team on it first, and you let them have the field for a half hour, then you let the second team on, so it's going to be hard to catch up, right? It's going to be hard because they had a team. So they said the goof, there's always a fight between the goof and the seichel, and the goof has a very big head start over the seichel. Some say 13 years, some would say 20 years, some would say 50 years, that the goof has a head start over the seichel. So it's not a level playing field. So therefore Hashem gave us the Torah. So therefore when you're 13 years old, or a girl when she's 12 years old, she has to keep the Torah, and that's all. So that it doesn't give free rein to the goof anymore. The goof doesn't have the field to itself till the seichel catches up, because Hashem said certain rules. So that limits what the goof is able to do, and it inspires the seichel to think about things and to see, I can't work on Shabbos, why not? I can't lend money beribis, why not? I can't harm someone else, why not? I have to keep Yom Tiv, I have to put on tefillin, I have to say kriyashma, I have to take arba minim. So that's number one. Reason number two is that the goof has a lot of allies in this world, because this world is a world of gashmius, is a world of physicality, and everything's physical, and everything feeds into the goof's taivus. You see things, you want them. We want pleasure, we want comfort. That's what the world is. The world is food and drink and comfort and other bodily pleasures, and therefore the goof feels very much at home. It's like, not only is it on the field first, that was reason number one, but it also has the home court advantage. It's at home. Olam Hazeh, this world, is so it has the home court advantage. And the neshama, the seichel, feels like, where am I? I'm lost. Like, isn't that my place? I have no allies. All the allies, everything is goof, is gashmius. So Hashem gave the Torah And again, the Torah, to bang down the home court advantage of the guf, it limits what the guf is able to do with rules. You can't do this, you could do this, you can't do this, you can't do this. And it gives strength to the seichel. So there's two reasons why the seichel would lag behind. And therefore, Hashem gave the rules in the Torah to allow the seichel to catch up. And, okay, reason number three, Rav the Belfin HaShlishi on that Pei Zayin, he says, the basic idea of the third thing is that we all know that when you exercise a muscle, it gets stronger. And when you don't exercise it, it gets weak, and it becomes flabby, it doesn't work, atrophy. So, he says, the guf is always working. You're eating, you're sleeping, so the guf, the chumrius, the taivus are getting a good workout. Every second of the day they're getting a workout. Either they're eating or drinking or sleeping or being pleasure, having pleasure. That's what the world is. So and if the seichel flabby, if not for the Torah, the seichel's flabby. So the seichel loses again. Strike three. See, Perek Beis is three strikes. Three strikes for the guf over the seichel. One is they're on the playing field way before the seichel ever gets there. Number two is they have the home court advantage. And number three is that they're constantly exercising. And they're always being utilized. So it gets strong. Anytime, as he says, anytime you use a muscle or anything, it gets strong. And the seichel's flabby. So the Hashem gave the Torah. And in this, number three, very interesting, number three is the inyan of learning Torah. He said Hashem gave us a Torah, so we have to learn. And in the first two, he said Hashem gave us a Torah to limit the freedom of the guf, so it can't get too strong and too powerful. It calms it down, it limits it. It forces us to exercise self-control. And in doing so, we develop the seichel. In number three, well, let's see it inside. It's always being sustained by the guf. Anything, the blood, everything's physical. If you ever get hungry, you want to eat. If you ever get thirsty, you want to drink. If you have a cold, you want to get warm. You're warm, you want to get cold. You're always looking for pleasure. So you're always working. So you're exercising the pleasure muscle. Like, what good is the seichel? The seichel is only to say, you know, this is not for real. This is not what the world's really all about. Hashem doesn't, like, this is, like, what am I doing in this world? So if you would just leave these two teams to their own device, so the guf is getting a great workout, and the seichel, well, not so much. Mina yodua, it's well known. Ki agelim agufniim im hismit shimushim. If you use it constantly, al derech hateva niskonim. They work well. They stay in shape. Umischaskim pulosehem. They even strengthen themselves. Right? You get stronger. Vim nismait hashimish bahem. If you don't use them so much, niskalkalim. They get atrophied. They don't get used. They get flabby and they don't work so well. Therefore, if it would just be this fight between the seichel and the guf, it's all over. You're always using taiva. Everything we do, we're using our desires, our physical desires, our physical wants, our physical needs. It's getting a great workout. There's nothing natural in the seichel. If anything, the seichel is used to figure out how to get more pleasure. So you're using the seichel to service the guf. Lefikach, therefore, hevi hatzorech, so this necessity, it's not an even playing field, limtso inyan, to find something, she'eno mishamish ba'amituso, that with the truth of its reality, it's nothing to do with the guf, it's not a guf thing. L'shum dover me'evi ha'odem v'tadvosu v'ha'ba'amiyus. Oh, we found, it's like you find a game, chess. Oh, we found chess. now you're going to exercise just your seichel. Chest, you know, you don't exercise your fingers all that much. You maybe move your fingers once every 45 minutes. It's pure seichel. So Hashem gave us a Torah, and this is seichel, the realm of the seichel. Hatzorah mehizgabrus ha-taybus ha-lami ha-Torah. So now he's talking about Pashat Talmud Torah. Till now, in the first two examples, he was talking about the mitzvahs. Now he's talking about Talmud Torah. Hashem b'hishtamish ha-seichel, but you learn the Torah, you learn its values, you learn its dinim. Yizchazek, oh, you're exercising your seichel, you're exercising your neshama, you're exercising the spiritual side of man, is getting a workout. The yizdakech v'yoyer, the yarchik min ha'adam is ha'sichlus, so it will be marchik you, keep you away from the foolishness, ha'mishtaletus al nafsho, ha'monas also which prevents him, miliris is ha'dvarm kafi ha'mitus, and you don't see things. You don't see reality. You're caught up with the goof. And Torah wakes you up. And you exercise your seichel. And you're able to see through. A guy can have an IQ of 170, 180, 200. So he says, wow, you're a brilliant guy. Brilliant. But every decision in his life, he made by following what he wants to do. By following his goof, by following what he thinks is better for him, by following what his goof tells him to do. You'll be richer, you'll have more pleasure, do this, do this. He can go through his whole life without using his seichel. If he uses a seichel for anything, it's how to get more pleasure for his goof. Doesn't do him any good. But if you have Torah, you're exercising your seichel, and all of a sudden you see reality for what it is. If you learn, you see how the Torah views things. This is like learning what they say, you learn. Kids start off learning Baba Kama, Baba Metzia. They learn that they can't harm their fellow man. They have to pay for damages. If someone lost something, you have to give it back. You don't want to give it back. Finders keepers, losers weepers. That's what your goof tells you. The Hashem gave the Torah. So when a 10-year-old, or a 12-year-old, or a 13-year-old, is all of a sudden learning that if someone loses something, you have to give it back. You can't just keep it. So you're exercising the seichel. Kol shemar achaseh toras Hashem tmimim b'shivas nafesh edus Hashem nemona machimes pesi b'kudei asherim mishorim esam chelev mitzvos Hashem borim mirei sinoyim. The Torah teaches us to use our seichel, so it wakes us up. It's mishivas nafesh, it's machimes pesi. Without that, our spiritual sichliyistic muscles would grow flabby and it would never be able to work. Lefikach, yeah, that's exactly what he's saying in Perek Sheni. Why Hashem didn't just leave it at that? That's what Perek Sheni is about. Why didn't Hashem just leave it at Shaar HaBechina and let the seichel of a person observe nature and appreciate Hashem and say, wow, I want to bond with Hashem, that's all I want to do with my life. So he's giving three reasons why. If Hashem just would, this is what Perek Sheni is coming to say. Why didn't Hashem just leave it at that? That's the goal. And he's going to say in Shaar HaAvodas HaElokim, that's the madrega you want to end up reaching. So why do we need the Torah for? Why do you need the mitzvahs for? Why don't you just leave it at that? And we'll all be like Avraham Avinu. So he's saying three reasons why. It's necessary.
It's necessary when the game starts.
It starts at 13. It starts at 13. It starts even before you. Machanach your children to make a bracha. You tell your children, thank Hashem, he gave you a piece of bread.
That's
what this parak is about. We just learned three reasons. Tonight we learned the third reasons. That the goof, if it would just be if you just put two teams on the field without the Torah, so one team is exercised and spends the whole day in the gym, that's the goof, and the seichel, you know, exercise is like 5 minutes a day, maybe.
But it's still sick on the
But it wouldn't work. The goof would overpower the seichel. That's what Perek Sheni is saying. If not for the Torah forcing you to use your seichel, to limit the powers of the goof, to limit the what the goof is involved in. That's what he said in the first
book. Like these professors who sit there all day with their seichel, like Stephen Hawking stuff.
That's what I'm explaining to you. That's exactly what I just said. They're intelligent. But if they want to decide, make a decision, if they should go party or go out with this girl, or does who knows what, Stephen Hawking is paralyzed. What if you're going to write for a paralyzed person? He has no goof. He has no goof. What do you want? He gave three reasons why you better not rely on that.